Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com, and I'm joined by Ben. Ben is the video writer, correct, Ben?
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
I thought you were going to go with the Pepe Le Pew.
Oh, no. I'm working on my Pepe, but I don't have it ready yet.
Yeah.
When we revisit something similar, maybe I'll have some Pepe for us.
So if you're a little confused why Ben is going with the French laughter there, it's because we're going to talk about began as a French car show.
Mm-hmm. And soon became the car show.
That's right, the car show. And, it continues to be the car show right up till today, and I'm sure it will for many years to come. Go ahead, why don't you hit me with the pronunciation of the name?
Okay, well, let's tell our listeners here real quick. We're going to probably split the difference between my pronunciation, which is cartoonish, and your pronunciation, which is American. The Concours d'Elegance.
Well, nice work. I just say Concours d'Elegance.
Mm-hmm. Which is that? If you translate, is competition of elegance, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's a French word, competition of elegance. And I tell you, have you ever been to one?
I have not.
Oh, but you've read all about them. We've been studying for this, right?
So right.
You know what they're all about, but they are unlike any other car show you'll ever see in your whole life, and I can guarantee you that. They're awesome.
And here we go. How can you guarantee this difference?
Because I've been to many of them when I lived in Michigan. But I haven't traveled to go to other ones because there's a lot of them. They're scattered all over the place, all over the globe, really. Mm. But I've only been to one, but I've been to it many times. And they're different every single time. They're never the same.
You know, I was checking out some of this. Since I wasn't lucky enough to go to one yet, I was cruising around, perusing, as you do, on the web. And I've got to say, these cars are fantastic. Some of these cars I did not know were around in this condition, you know, this mm-hmm. well-preserved.
Yeah, these are museum piece type cars, mm-hmm. but they're owned by collectors, they're owned by celebrities, they're owned by restorers, they're owned by just enthusiasts. Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about, like, you know, the drag racing street car type,
sure.
Take them out to the racetrack, although some people do it sometimes. We'll mm-hmm. talk about that too. But these cars are million, 2 million, 3 million, $20 million dollar cars, or some that can't even have a value because
there's only one.
This is it, okay. And there's nothing to really gauge it against. And you know, how do you place a value on something like that? These are amazing pieces of work. Really, they're outstanding in every way.
Now, you know, I am going to defer to you as the expert here, Scott, and ask how this whole shindig got started.
It was back in the 1920s in France. And the French, you know, they were interested in artwork and beauty and fashion and everything, and they wanted to combine the two. Mm. Three, really. Anyways, you know what I mean? But the automobile was like a work of art at the time. And, you know, because if you were in the upper class, you would take your vehicle that you took from wherever you purchased a Bugatti, mm-hmm. maybe, or whatever mark it was, and you would then take that to a coachmaker and have them custom make an interior for you, they would even do body work for you, they mm-hmm. would completely customize that vehicle for you in any way that you wanted, any color scheme, any kind of pattern, any kind of fabric, any kind of headliner material, exotic woods, whatever you wanted in that vehicle, you could have it. And they found a way to combine this artwork, this beauty, the automobile with fashion, and they combined it into one event, which is this big celebration of cars and fashion. And mm-hmm. it's still to this day is kind of like that. I mean, it's still fashion is still a big part of the Concours show.
And it's also can I just put out one of the big tidbits
mm-hmm.
that's a contradictory phrase, of course, big tidbit. This is a piece of trivia that baffles me. If you somehow get invited to this car show, which I know we'll go into in a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and if you somehow win anything,
yeah.
you cannot compete for another 10 years?
10 years.
10 years.
10 years. And there's an exception to that rule, but it's somewhat rare. Because, these are these are coveted pieces of art. I mean, these cars are, like we said, they're exquisite. They're extraordinary. They don't often change owners unless it's, you know, these are the ones that make the news when they do sell.
I see.
You know, $4 million, $5 million. Sure. They set records when they sell. If the car changes ownership in that 10 years, it can be re-invited to the show with the previous owner. Or if the car has been further restored so that it is in a better condition than it was the first time it showed.
I see.
A significant amount, not just something minor. We're talking about a significant improvement. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to already be there is something. So to improve it that much, I don't know, that might be difficult. But, yeah, that 10-year restriction is pretty staunch, I guess,
yeah.
Pretty strict.
We've got – and so we're – catching up on a lot of the beginnings of this, and I think mm-hmm. in here we touched on one of the large differences between this kind of competition and many other car competitions, which is an emphasis on aesthetics rather than performance.
Yeah, that's right. It's not all on aesthetics. It's right. Well, you know, actually, it is on aesthetics, but there's different levels of this because when the cars are judged, and it is a competition, so you know there are 150 or 250 cars, 300 cars. It depends on how many are mm-hmm. in the area and want to participate. You know, before I get into it, let me just say how they're invited. But they have to be invited to the show because you had alluded to this earlier.
Right.
The vehicle and the owner have to be invited to the show by the panel of judges or the committee that selects them for that show. And the owners can, you know, this is just kind of word of mouth, you know, like mm-hmm. so-and-so has this vehicle or they know of this vehicle is in existence or is being restored and it will be ready for the show. But the owner could submit kind of a request to be in the show as well. That's possible. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's up for the committee to decide that. But you have to be invited. You have to, you know, when you do accept, you have to, there's an extensive form you have to fill out. You
sure.
have to send in lots of photos. You have to prove that the car is perfect in every way, really.
Mm-hmm.
So once you get past all that and you're invited and you're there, the judging, and it is a judged show, so that you're in a competition with other vehicles in your class, and there's many classes. They don't all have to be. They're not all in the same class. It's not one big show. It's like a lot of little different divisions that are then kind of singled out. They single out one vehicle as the best in that class, and this is where the first judge comes in. This is the class judge, and the class judge are class judges, I should say, are they're. Well, they're experts in their category. They know everything about the cars or what it should be like. So they judge it for authenticity and just want to make sure that, you know, the car is in perfect condition. It doesn't have any blemishes, dents, dings, no marks of any kind on them. That's how detailed they are. You can't have a marred finish on anything. Otherwise, you lose. Sometimes it's just fractions of a point, but the idea is to get to as close to a perfect score of 100 as you possibly can. So, one, you know, 100 is a perfect score, but whoever gets closest to that in that division mm-hmm. then wins a first-in-class award, and that's given by the class judge.
Okay.
And then the first-in-class recipients then go on to compete against all the other first-in-class recipients.
And that's a show judge?
That's an honorary judge.
Honorary judge.
And the honorary judging happens, it's kind of a different thing, though. That's a subjective approach to judging. This is where they look at the car and they decide, hey, this is, you know, this is a beautiful car. I like that one a lot. It's very elegant looking.
Mm-hmm.
The design and style of it is exactly the way it should be for that era. A lot of different factors go into this, but it's not nearly as critical as the class judge who is going for the idea that they're preserving history, that it's authentic and it's real. You know, the restoration was done with history in mind, that, you know, you don't put something modern in an old, you know, 1910.
So this is the fellow you were telling me about earlier when we were checking this out. This is the guy who or lady who checks under the seat to make sure the upholstery is tacked if it was supposed to be tacked.
Correct.
Rather than stapled.
Yeah, that you're exactly right. Yeah, they have to make sure that, you know, it's period correct and that you know, you wouldn't use twist ties to hold together wiring bundles underneath. You'd use whatever they did at the time. If it was a leather strap, it has to be a leather strap. You know, it's that attention to detail and the coloring of the wires and the finishes. You know, make sure if that's supposed to be shiny, it's shiny. If it's supposed to be a matte finish, it better be a matte finish. The carpet should be right. Everything has to be perfect.
And they just, I guess a lot of these vehicles, too, are of the age where they can't be judged by someone with real life experience seeing them on the street, right?
Correct, yeah.
So they have to depend on what, archival photos?
Well, these are historians. A lot of times they're historians, or they may be magazine editors. They may be someone who's just completely immersed in the automotive field.
Subject matter expert.
Yeah, that's right. They're always subject matter experts. They're recognized experts in their field.
So could we do this? I mean, I know I can't.
No. There's no way that I could. I just couldn't do it.
Just say not yet.
To be an honorary judge, maybe, because, okay, you know, that's something I think would be fun. But to be a class judge, you really have to know everything about that car. You'd have to immerse yourself in that type of vehicle for a long, long time in order to understand what's correct and what's not correct.
Now, I've got some kind of random questions for you.
Okay.
Does our boy Jay Leno go to these?
He loves these shows. In fact, he participates. You know, he has vehicles that are in the show.
Uh-huh.
He also is an honorary judge. I don't know if he's ever been a class judge. He might be.
He knows his stuff.
He really does, yeah. And I don't know if he's to the class judge level. He might be.
Okay.
I don't want to shortchange him here, but I know that he's there, and you often see photos of him at the Pebble Beach show.
One of the premier of the premieres, right?
Well, that's in the United States, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think there's a show in France still, and there's also one in Mumbai. Is that right?
I believe so. I believe so.
Yeah.
And there are three in the United States,
right? There's actually more than three,
more than
but
three.
There are
okay.
three big ones that you hear about often.
Okay.
And these have been around for a while. Talk amongst yourselves. I'll find my notes.
Right.
And I'm just kidding, man. I got it. And let's see. So
I was going to go. I had this prepared monologue. All right. Next episode.
No, there are three here in the United States that you normally hear about. And you know what? Actually, this is a good time for me to tell you when they're coming up in 2010, because the 2009 shows are done.
God, you're
they're
good,
over.
Man. You're good. That was on my. Are you looking at my notes?
No, I can't see.
Don't
it's
look
upside
at my
down.
Notes.
It's upside down. So, anyways, the in 2010, Amelia Island, Florida, which is the one closest to us here in Georgia.
Yes.
That's happening from March 12th through 14th, and next year will be the 15th anniversary for that show. So it's been around for a while, 15
wow.
years. Then the Meadowbrook Festival, Meadowbrook Concours Show. That's in Rochester, Michigan. That's the one that I used to go to all the time. That's there's no date listed yet, but that one is always held the first week in August.
Okay.
So that one is gone. And as a matter of fact, on that one, I think this year was the 30th anniversary for that
wow.
show. So that's been around twice as long as the Amelia show. Then, of course, there's Pebble Beach, and this is the kind of the big one. This is the one that's held on the West Coast, and you see a lot of photos of the cars. We've talked about this. The
yeah.
cars parked on the golf course. They're always held on golf courses, by the way. These cars are parked on the golf course by the rocky cliffs, you know, with the sunset in the background. It's beautiful. Beautiful scene. In 2010, that one's held on August 15th. So August 15th of next year, 2010, that will be the 60th anniversary of that show.
Wow.
60 years. So some of these cars, I mean, they were fairly young when they went to this show.
Yeah, some of them might have been.
I mean, they're probably maybe on the road or something. I don't know. It's but you know, a lot of these cars are from earlier than that. You know, there's so many cars that are pre-war cars and vintage cars. They have cars for divisions rather for classes for different makes and models. So let's say you've got a Porsche, you'd be in a class with other Porsches. Or if you're in a race car of a certain era, you might be in a race car group.
There's a Harley Davidson group, actually.
Oh, really?
I read about. Yeah. There's a Harley Davidson group, and I think the winner in one of the Concours d'Elegance. I can't even make it plural.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, everybody. especially French listeners or French speaking listeners. But yes, there is, as you said, a field, a class for every conceivable group.
Oh, there. Sure, yeah, and that's what kind of makes it fun when you go there.
Yeah.
If you go to one, they're held on golf courses, and it's a beautiful setting. You know, nice green grass, of course, and they're roped off with velvet rope type you know, things. It's really really cool, and the way they're usually fanned out in kind of a circular pattern. What's really cool about this, and here's what I loved about going to this one, is that there's a point where the best in show, or I'm sorry, not the best in show, first in class, drives up to accept their awards. And if you sit in the right spot and you're watching, because they drive past the honorary judges at that point.
Ah, okay.
And you get to see these things drive. You get to see them pull out of their class section. You get to listen to them as they drive up, and they kind of line up in a parade form almost. And they slowly, one by one, pull up and onto the stage. They tell a little story, you know, as they accept their award, which is usually some type of really cool sculpture. Mm-hmm. And they get to tell a story about, you know, there's often a lot of collectors there where you'll find that, you know, this guy owns 60 Ferraris, or this guy owns 25 Duesenbergs, or something like, you know, these collectors are just avid collectors. They've been doing it for a long time. They've got huge collections, beautiful collections. You may see Ralph Lauren's cars there. You may see someone driving Jay Leno's cars because he's got several in the show. It's really, really cool to see them drive up. You get to hear them. You get to see them move. You often don't, well, you never get to see that in a museum. I just like being around them. Some of them are whisper quiet. You don't hear them approach, and you would think that something that large would make a lot of noise. But like the big Rolls Royce cars, totally silent. Silent as an electric car. They're beautiful, gorgeous cars.
Oh man, are you talking about the older models that the Phantom?
Well, yeah, Silver Ghost and all those. You know, the giant Rolls Royce, the real old classic. Elegant looking vehicles.
I don't even want to possess one of those. I think it would just be fun to ride shotgun it.
Yeah, I know the maintenance and things would be a killer on something like that, but it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to go to one of these,
yes,
there's a great difference in prices. Because the one I went to at Meadowbrook, the tickets are around $25, and from what I remember, they've pretty much always been about $25.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they've been $25 since I was going back in the late 80s.
My spider sense tells me that's the low end, though.
That is, because I'm leading up to the big one here.
Here we go.
Okay, so, but, you know, along with that, though, you can get, for the Meadowbrook show, you could also get VIP tickets, which are about $100, or you get $150 tickets, which will allow you access to this live auction that they have there. And it's usually a fundraiser, so it goes to charities. It's a good cause. Mm-hmm. There's fashion shows. There are, surrounding all these events, there are invite-only lunches and dinners. It's very exclusive, prestigious event to go to. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool. But, you know, for $25, that'll get you in the door on the day of the show, and that's what I did. I'd, wander around and, sure, I don't know, ask silly questions, I guess. But it's really cool to talk to the owners because they have great stories. They have fantastic stories. If you get a chance, listen to what they say at the judging podium. And also, if you get a chance, talk to them on your own down in the field, because, you know, you'll find out that, you know, this car spent a half a year on the bottom of the Atlantic until they rescued it from a cruise ship that sunk with it in the belly. You know, that type of thing. You'll hear that. You'll hear things like that when you talk to these guys, and they've fully restored it and brought it back, and that's part of the history of that car, and every one of those has it.
Or a three-year quest to find the last 1907 carburetor in Western Europe.
Exactly.
That model.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, this car would have been ready for last year's show, but this happened.
Wow.
And it's really, everybody's got their own story. It's fascinating.
Let's see. Now, it sounds like I'm already going to the Michigan show, but
I don't know. I couldn't find information about the Amelia Island show, the ticket prices.
Okay.
So it could be anywhere in between this one and the next one I'm going to tell you. Pebble Beach tickets. If you buy them in advance, this is just a car show. It's a unique car show.
Is this the get in the door price?
Yeah, get in the door price.
Okay.
$150 ticket. If you buy it right there, if you buy it in advance.
Per person?
Per person. Yeah,
all
that's right.
Well, okay.
That's not pesos. That's dollars.
Well, it's history. Yeah. We're helping preserve history.
And if you buy it at the door, it's $175. So you get a $25 penalty for buying it at the door, or at the gate, I should say. You know what? I got to say, I think it's worth it.
It hurts me emotionally to agree with you on this one, but it just might be.
Now, I mean, okay, just for the sake of saying that I've been there one time, I would do that. I don't really see myself going to that show over and over again, paying $150 right now. But maybe I would someday.
What about the VIP price? Are we gonna
the VIP? Oh, you know what? I don't have the VIP price. You caught me flat footed there. You know what? Maybe, and I'm gonna guess. I'm gonna go out on a limb here. The VIP thing is your invite only. Maybe you can't even pay for it. I don't know.
I bet you're right. I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm guessing, or it's just an extravagant cost that, if it's a dinner, it might be $1,000 plate dinner, or $5,000 plate dinner, because it is a charity event and they do things like that. So,
and let's not forget, as you said, it's for charity, and being one of the most prestigious car shows in the world, you know, ticket prices have to be at a certain minimum so that the crowd does not mob the place.
Sure, yeah, that's right. And, you know, they do have great attendance. A lot of people go to this. A lot of media cover it. You'll see some beautiful photos online. If you go online and search Concours d'Elegance, or however you want to say it. And
I'm not going to treat you to the
You'll find photos, you know, going back in history as far as the shows go, and they're gorgeous, gorgeous cars. I love just looking at the photographs each year from these.
Oh, yeah. Scott, the very, very, very last question. If you put a car in this competition, what do you think you would choose? Any kind. Just go general.
Wow, really? Yeah. You know what? I would love to be in the race car section of this, because that would mean that I own a vintage race car at that point then.
You know, I was thinking, about 70% sure you might say a race car.
I'm scheming, but you know what? Some of those are my favorite cars to hear approach that stage when they're running. Mm-hmm. And I also used to like hanging, you know, I mentioned that you get to see them run. I used to like to kind of hang out after the show was over. Just kind of lose myself back in, you know, the back corner for a while and,
sure,
you know, wander around. And then I'm there when all of the cars are being pulled out and onto the trailers, and or at least some of them. And I would kind of hang around the race car area, because you don't get to hear those start up very often. And they do run. They run. They drive them off the golf course onto their trailer. And, boy, I tell you, that's just raw horsepower. It's beautiful. It really sounds great. So those are some of my favorite cars. I would think I'd go for a race car. How about you?
You know, man, a long time ago, before I knew that they were a bit difficult to obtain, I promised my dad that I would get him a Packard. And so, if I ever make good on that promise, I'm trying, if I ever make good on that promise, I would probably take that to the show, just to prove to myself that I had done it. I feel, you know, one of the luminaries of the car world earlier about the competition of elegance, we'll just use the English.
Yeah, okay.
Earlier said that being invited to attend this competition is the same thing as winning another car show.
Yeah.
I completely agree with that.
Oh, sure, yeah. It's a prestigious honor just to compete and to be invited, because that's somebody singling you out as worthy of coming to this show. And really, and I don't know if we've even mentioned that, really. Mm-hmm. The benefit of this show for the owners, mm-hmm, and the people that do the restoration and the collectors,
sure,
it really comes down to bragging rights. And it's really just being able to say that my car was either in the competition, won a first in class, or it won the best of show. Of course, that'd be great. But it comes down to bragging rights. And it also, it's a status symbol among these owners that, you know, hey, here's the car that won this. And I'm sure it ups the value of the vehicle tremendously when it wins something like this. So it's got to help.
I am so glad you came in with that last minute save. I totally forgot to mention as well, yeah, these people win bragging rights.
Yeah.
And a lot of the money goes to charity, so this is an all-around good cause. Well, I guess that about wraps up our episode here on one of the world's most prestigious car shows. Thanks again for lending us an ear, and if you have any suggestions or an idea for a future episode, please send us an email at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.